You'll take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. We've been looking at common causes of doubting salvation as we continue in our journey through the doctrines of salvation. So 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13 says, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we again meet together in your house and we turn to your scriptures, we ask that you would guide us and direct us. We pray, Father, that tonight that you would speak to each heart personally tonight. I pray, Father, as we look into your word and we see these things, as we're looking at these common causes of doubting salvation, I pray, Father, that as your word tells us, we can know for sure that we have eternal life. There's so many different ways that we can know for sure. We don't have to guess. We don't have to hope. We don't have to think so. We can know for sure that we have eternal life. So I pray, Father, tonight, if there's someone in our midst that's doubting their salvation, or even somebody who's never been saved, I pray, Father, that they would get that settled tonight, and that they can enjoy the peace and the comfort and the encouragement that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So we thank you for what you're going to accomplish tonight, and will not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. People have a failure to understand that Christians, yes, born-again believers, still sin. Hard to believe, right? I had one lady one time, she said, "I've never sinned in my entire life." I said, "That's your first one." To sin, to lie. The only one that ever walked this earth that was sinless was the Lord Jesus Christ. So anybody who says they've never sinned in their entire life sinned because they're a liar. The Bible also tells us, let God be true and every man a liar, right? So we have to be careful what we believe. But not only do believers in Jesus Christ sin, they also have doubts. Doubts. As I mentioned in my prayer, we can know for sure that we have eternal life. We don't have to guess. I knock doors and I talk to people and they go, "Well, I hope I'm going to heaven." Wrong answer. What happens if you didn't hope enough? Right? I mean, it doesn't make any sense, right? I hope my good outweighs my bad. How do you know? And who's the judge of that one? I thank God that we don't have to rely on what we do. We get to rely on what he did. And it is finished, as he said. And thank God it is. Too many people are guessing that they're going to make it to heaven when they should know for sure. There should be no guessing in it. I've said for years, one of my, and people think I'm crazy, but I love to preach funerals and memorial services. They're a captive audience. They haven't come to a church service to hear a preacher preach about the Word of God, but every time I do one, there's a clear presentation of the gospel. Because those people may never come to a church service, they may never hear the preaching of the Word of God, except for in one of those type services. And anyone who performs one and doesn't present the gospel misses a great opportunity. And I have to say, I have been to a few, my wife's been with me at a few of them, where we've got there and the pastor of the church never once even opened the Word of God. And I'm like, sitting in the pew thinking, "Step aside, I'll handle this for you, because obviously you don't know what you're doing." You cannot miss those opportunities. People are out there doubting if they're saved. There's people out there that aren't saved and they know they're not saved. They just don't realize that Jesus Christ is what they're searching for. We need to take every opportunity we have. Turn over to 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1 and verse 7. Says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then drop down to verse 10. Says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. As I said, the lady who said she'd never sinned in her whole life. It's hard to get somebody to realize their need of a Savior when they think they're perfect. That's why the saying's been out there for years. You've got to get them lost before you can get them saved. Because they don't realize that they're not as good as they think they are. And I like the Word of God when it says there's none good, no, not one. Means we're all in the same boat, right? I like the fact it's a level playing field at the cross. Doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what house you live in. It doesn't matter what kind of cars you drive. It doesn't matter what your bank account looks like. It doesn't matter any of that stuff. At the cross, it's a level playing field. We all have to come the same way. And we have to realize Jesus Christ is the only way. The one and only way. And then failure to have a testimony of a dramatic change from a past life of great sin due to being saved earlier, having been raised in church or with good morals. Some people got saved at a very early age. They didn't go through the years of sin and debauchery and all that stuff. I know a guy that was at the conference in Texas, and the year before I got there, he had gotten saved at the conference. And he came back the next year. God had called him to preach. And he got up and he gave his testimony. And he talked about all the sinful things he did in his life. And then he said this: God saved me from all of that. He said, the night I came forward and knelt at the altar and asked Jesus Christ to forgive me, he said, I never had a desire for drugs. I never had another desire for alcohol. I had no desire for any of that sin in my life anymore. God saved me from all of that. Pretty dramatic change, right? If you get saved at 6, 7, 8 years old, you probably didn't go through all that. But there still was a change. Something in your life changed. You went from following the devil to following God. A change in your life. And some people say, well, I didn't have that dramatic change, so I must not be saved. Not everybody's going to have that dramatic change. But there will be a change. And thank God for that. Then failure to trust in faith in the promises of God rather than in ever-changing emotions. Folks, if you follow emotions, you're going to be all over the place. And some people, I have one gal I know, we call her Miss Emotional, because she's, I mean, it doesn't take anything, and she's all over the place, emotional. You don't want to follow emotions. We want to follow faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. In fact, somebody the other day, we were talking about who's in the White House, right? And not at this particular, it had nothing to do with who's in there right now. It had everything to do with people putting their faith and trust in whoever it is that's in the White House. Folks, if you're trusting in whoever's in the White House, you have a problem. And it's huge. Faith and trust should only be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting to watch people, and they're all up in arms because of who's in the White House currently, right? I didn't like the last guy, but I didn't lose any sleep over it. I know that God's in control. And the Bible says that the powers that be are ordained of God. God put him there for a purpose. People said, no, they stole the election. No, God put him there for a purpose. The one that's in there now, God put him there for a purpose. I had a guy the other day, he was going off and he goes, I just don't like that guy. I said, well, you know, there's people, they either really like him or they really hate him. There's nobody in between most of the time, but I'm one of the in-betweens. I like some of what he does. I don't care for other things that he does. But my faith and trust is not in him. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we keep our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be okay. But if we take our eyes off the Savior and start putting them on man, the Bible tells us over and over, man will fail us. Right? The President of the United States is just sinful man. And depending on who's in there, they may or may not be saved while they're there, right? Just because they're saved doesn't mean they are doing everything right. Just because they're saved doesn't mean they're following the Lord. There's a lot of people that say they're saved that aren't following the Lord. That's why I've said for years, quit calling yourselves Christians if you're not going to act like them. Just tell people you're born again. Because Christians give Christians a bad name. We don't need any help. We do it all ourselves. Look at 1 John chapter 5. Verses 12 and 13. 1 John 5, 12 says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Notice that he says, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. It doesn't say that you may think you have eternal life, or you may hope you have eternal life, but that you may know that you have eternal life. Because we don't have to guess. And thank God for that. I mean, how many times have we been wrong? Let's just face it, folks, we aren't right all the time. So we've gotten it wrong. Would we want to get salvation wrong? I wouldn't want to. I mean, there's many the Bible talks about. They're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, but I did this and this and this and this and this, and he's going to say, depart from me. Ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. What a horrible, horrible time that's going to be for them, because they think they're saved. And they weren't, because they were trusting in what they're doing instead of what he did. And that's not a good feeling, I'm sure. I'm looking forward to hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So that's what I'm striving for. And failure to measure up to others who seem so much more spiritual than we are. Again, let me just say this. Our example to follow is not fellow man. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some people, and I hear all the time, you know so much. I don't know squat. I said years ago, I am going to constantly be learning until my last breath here. I thank God for the knowledge I do have. I thank God for the Word of God that He's given us, that we can have it, that we can study it. But anybody who thinks they've arrived, that thinks they know it all, there's a problem. And I can tell you, I've been under some of those preachers, that the old my way or the highway, stiff-necked Baptist preachers. I pick on Baptists because I are one. But I get tired of that. But you don't know half of what you think you know. we're going to still be learning. And thank God that he allows us to continue to learn and to draw closer to him. Let's be thankful that he's given us the knowledge that we have and then continue to learn. And not only just learn it, but apply it. There's a lot of people who have a lot of book knowledge when it comes to the Word of God, but they have no idea of how to apply it to their everyday life. So they can tell you all kinds of things about the Bible, but you don't evidence any of it in their life. That's a problem. Let's not try to compare ourselves with others, because our tendency as sinful man is to find somebody who's not at the level we're at and compare with them. Nobody wants to compare with somebody who's more spiritual than they are, right? We seek out the ones that are less spiritual because we want to look like we're pretty good. We all need to be comparing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, if you tell me you're measured up to him, we'll have a chat. Because we're not going to. All right, look at 2 Corinthians 10:12. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." Been around some people, they say, "Well, that's your opinion." No, that's the Word of God. He's the one that's saying you're not wise when you do that. And then failure to be faithful in church or to stay under the Word of God. There's a lot of people say, "Well, I'm faithful," and yet Sunday rolls around and you can't find them anywhere. Well, not in the house of God anyway. And they say, "Well, it's okay. God understands when I'm not there." Well, let's see. Does God really understand? Turn to Hebrews 10:25. And we should all know this. I've use this one a lot. I like to have us turn to it because it's good for us to see it and read it as we're going through it. So Hebrews 10:25, not, notice the word not, forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It doesn't say so much the less. Says so much the more. This is why I have a problem. Churches are closing down their Sunday evening service. They're closing down their midweek service. They're closing down their Sunday school. And they're saying, "But people won't come." And my line's always the same. They won't come to something you don't have. Right? Years ago, I remember my wife and our two girls back then, this was quite a few years ago, God had called me to preach, and I was filling in for the pastor who was gone for his mother-in-law's funeral. He was preaching it. And he asked me if I'd fill in for him. We got there. Midweek service. There's my family and two other people. An older lady, meaning older than me. She was about 90, and an older gentleman, not married, two separate people, and he got there, and Miss Alberta was always driven and dropped off, and they come back and pick her up. Brother Jimmy came up to me, he says, "Brother Carey," he says, "there's only two of us besides your family, why don't we just go home?" I said, "Brother Jimmy, if I have to put a mirror in front of my face and preach to myself. We're preaching tonight because this is the service time and we're expected to be here." And he said, "Preach it, brother," and turned around and sat down. It doesn't matter how many show up. It matters that we remain faithful. Faithful. God wants to find us faithful. In fact, the Bible asks the question, will he find faith? on the earth. When he comes, is he going to find faith? I believe he will. People say, well, that's pretty presumptuous. I believe God's always got a remnant. There will always be the faithful. There might not be as many faithful, but there will always be some that are faithful. And then Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. People need to hear the word of God. It's imperative that people hear the word of God. People say, I was talking to one guy, he believes wholeheartedly that those who are going to get saved will get saved and those who aren't won't. I said, then why did Jesus give us the Great Commission? I mean, why would he say preach the gospel to every creature? Why would he say that if we weren't supposed to get the gospel out? And if that's true, do we really need missionaries? Do we really need gospel tracts? Do we really need the John and Romans booklets that we pass out? Do we really need anything? If those who are going to get saved are going to get saved, and those who aren't, aren't? I don't know about you, but I thank God for the man who led me to the Lord. I also thank God for the preaching of the word that I sat under and didn't even register for years. And then all of a sudden I realized I was that sinner they were preaching about that was headed to hell. Thank God for people who believe that we need to be under the preaching and teaching of the word of God. We need to study. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's too many that are not rightly dividing the word of truth. They're drawing a lot of people away from the truth with their teachings. And it's not good. We need to learn to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And we're out of time again, so we'll be moving on to prayer requests.